whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. That
lion born. Oh, you scared me for a second. On the right babe. Not that Maggie. Take it till 5 o'clock, a three-hour ride all the way to the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. We got Ray on the other side. And again, taking your phone calls for 3 hours. And the Knicks avoided the disaster of what would have been a four-game losing streak against an 8-28 Raptors team, where they come out, take care of the Raptors, 112-98. And I got to tell you, like, I finally got the Gotham app, so I was able to watch the game after a couple of games where I was reliant on others. But, you know, the thing about this team, and listen, there's always going to be the argument about the minutes. There's always going to be the discussion about the coach. There's always going to be discussion about the bench. And we actually saw, all starters played under 40 minutes in this game. Look, it's a bad Raptors team. I'm not going to make a big deal out of the win. It's more of just avoiding the loss, feeling good about it. But I got to be honest with you. Watching Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, this guy is right now the MVP of the team and a top five MVP candidate in this league right now, because you watch him and the difference between what this Knicks team looks like. Now, offensively, it wasn't a brilliant game. They weren't completely, like, they're still struggling a little bit. They're going through it a little bit. And he's obviously going through some pain with his left knee. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, we watch this guy. He's grimacing the entire game. He's pushing through an injury. He's doing things that I was told, and I know this isn't necessarily the only thing when you talk about the narrative around Karl Anthony Towns and the soft nature of him, and really it comes to big games and everything else that went with his time in Minnesota. But right now, I mean, you watch this guy fight through it. He's grimacing from the first part of the game. You know, the last time he played, you saw him, you know, practically hobbling up the court down the stretch of the game. And this guy comes in, and the difference in this offense, the difference in the way OG Anunoby plays, the difference the way this team plays. And let's be honest, Brunson, as great as he is, and as much as he's the leader of the team and the captain of the team, he is not having the same type of season he's had. And maybe that's part of Cat being there, and maybe that's part of the dynamics of the team changing. And, you know, I don't think we were expecting him to have to be the player he was, certainly down the stretch of last year and into the postseason. But Karl Anthony Towns, his ability to stretch the floor, his ability to make the defense worry about him, open it up to three-point shooting of OG, and they got the Knicks got themselves a little bit more under control from three-point land, where they shot, you know, at least 36%. OG Anunoby, obviously, 4 of 6 from three-point land. They were, you know, significantly better than they've been over the last couple games. But Karl Anthony Towns and what he brings to this team offensively, and the toughness, that's right, I'll say it, the toughness he is bringing to this Knicks team. You know, now I know it's an injury that, and a, you know, that necessarily shouldn't cause you time, and it's just a battle through. But that's what he's doing, battling through. The two games he's missed against, you know, the Pistons and the Magic, they lost both of those games. They are a different team with Karl Anthony Towns on the court, and watching this guy be able to do what he does. Now, we know his limits, right? We understand he's not the greatest of rim protectors, but what he's doing at the basket right now, what he's doing, just spacing out the floor, and he allows the rest of this team to have it open. And again, a brutal night shooting for Bridges, where he's 2 for 11. He had a rough night. But you see the ability of OG Anunoby come through at a different level when Karl Anthony Towns is on the floor. And going against the Raptors, and obviously the trade from last year, OG, you know, he's played well against the Raptors every time the Knicks have played him. But just to watch those two guys go through it And to watch this Knick team, as you saw the, you know, the game of the week, Oklahoma City against Cleveland, and you're looking at this Cleveland team that wins the, you know, another big game. They're the clear-cut, you know, number one seed in the East, and you're thinking about how this team is going to possibly win a championship and get back to at least an Eastern Conference Finals, and you just see Karl-Anthony Towns be able to transform this team, what they are without him and what they are with him. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns right now is one of a top five candidate for MVP in this league, and clearly, right now, with this team, more important than Jalen Brunson. Like, that's what I've taken out of the last handful of games and seeing him and how the team responds to him. Yes, Brunson is the captain of this team. Brunson might be the leader of this team. The most important player on the floor for the New York Knicks is Karl-Anthony Towns. And the most important player, and if we, you know, we can quibble about the trade and all it sent away, I think that's kind of gone now. He's been unbelievable. But you look at moving forward, and if we're going to finally get a Knicks team that's capable of contending for an NBA championship, if we are going to get a Knicks team that's going to take them back to the Eastern Conference Finals, if we're going to get a Knicks team that over the next couple of years where it's going to feel like the 90s, where year in and year out, you know, they're contending at least. I know we had the Michael Jordans of the, you know, Michael Jordan stopping them from ultimately becoming a legitimate contender year in and year out. And I don't think, as good as the Celtics may be, and as, I mean, I don't trust Cleveland, they're having a great year, but I don't think there's a team in the East right now that would prevent the Knicks from being a steady contender. Right now, the most important player for the New York Knicks is Karl-Anthony Towns, and it ain't close. It ain't close. You go into a big game, you go into a big series. Right now, if you said you're down Brunson or you're down Cat, I'd rather be down Brunson. And I didn't think I would say that. I still, yes, that's right. Ray's looking at me. I still feel that. I feel that way right now, Ray.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a hot take.
It's a hot take.
It's a guard-driven league, man.
I understand that. I'm saying this team right now, the way they're playing and how he spreads the floor and the way Brunson has played here. Now, look, again, these aren't the biggest threat. They've gone on a winning streak during some of the lesser teams. He doesn't need to be that guy. They'll start to find their way. But when big games come, he'll take over at different times. I still want him to be the guy, for the most part, in Brunson, to be the guy who gets the last second shot, to be the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. I still trust him with the ball in a guard-driven league. I get that. But I honestly think his impact on this particular team and the way they're playing right now and what you get from OG Anunoby in particular. And yes, he's been able to stay healthy, one of the only Knicks, I think the only starting five member who's played every single game this year, and that's obviously been an issue for OG Anunoby, and to see him play every night's been good, but to me, the way Cat stretches the floor, I think it helps OG Anunoby's game as much as Brunson or anyone else. And so when I look at this team, right, what's the one game Brunson didn't play in, I believe they won, and the two games that Cat hasn't played in against the Pistons and against Orlando, they lost. And I'm not saying it's going to be this way forever. I understand who the captain of this team is, who became the leader of this team, who's the guy, and maybe he's purposely taking a backseat or he's just having an off start of the year. But when I look at this Knicks team and I watch them play, and maybe it's because I'm harking it back to the 90s and their best team was their center, and sure, he's not the perfect player and he's got a lot more to improve and he's got a lot more to, you know, I shouldn't say improve, but prove to, you know, change the narrative that he's built over a short career here with the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I watch this team right now, and I think Karl-Anthony Towns is the most important Knick and the Knick that's going to determine whether or not, like, I mean, and we knew this when they made the trade, whether or not, you know, you go star hunting and is this the right guy? And so many people were against it, didn't love the trade, but you knew you would have to bring in another star if they were going to be someone to compete with the Boston Celtics, compete with the Western Conference, and go out there and be a championship contender. That's what most people felt heading into last year. I know we all fell in love with that team and the way they played down the stretch and how tough they were. And if it weren't for injuries and just falling apart at the end of the year, maybe they could have been that team to get back to an Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe. But what I know is it's a star-driven league. As much as Ray said, it's a guard-driven league. And Karl-Anthony Towns is playing like a freaking star.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
Has the Cat trade been an even bigger return than anticipated as a Knick fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I definitely think it has. I think he's played better. And I'm saying he's more important to the team right now than Jalen Brunson. And that would have been as great as Karl Anthony Towns has been for his career, and as much as he's been perceived a star longer than Brunson's been perceived a star, over the last couple of years, Brunson's taken over this Knicks team without question. Right, that's what made Julius Randle kind of expendable. Partly is that they both played they both needed the ball as much to be the stars of the team, and that's why at the end of last year, like Marco Belletti, you'll hear on updates all morning, he was telling me that the team is better without Julius Randle last year. That many people felt like that the team was better last year after the Julius Randle injury because of the. As great as Brunson was to start the year, as great as he was in his first season, he really became the Knicks in the second half of the year. And I think even though it's just, a game against the Raptors, it's avoiding a four-game losing streak, it's more of a win of relief than it is a win of, getting all hot and bothered with it. But I'm just saying, when I watched the team and we saw him not play the previous game, and we saw the offense, and we can talk about tired, and we could talk about, the when you worry about your legs, you talk about the three-point shot, you talk about defense. And against an Orlando Magic team that was missing their top four scorers, to lose that game, clearly the defensive effort wasn't what you would hope it would be, and certainly shooting 18% from behind the floor, that points to legs. So it's not the only reason they lost was Karl Anthony Towns isn't there. We're talking about the bench. We're talking about, waiting for the second big man to get back from his injury. But ultimately, from the couple games I've seen where Karl Anthony Towns doesn't play, and the ability of, OG Anunoby, who's quite clearly the third best player on this team, I feel like his game elevates too when Karl Anthony Towns is on the floor. His ability to play from behind the arc, under the basket, the effect it has on the defense, the open shots it creates for OG, the ability of even OG to get closer to the basket. He had some easy baskets in this game that I felt Karl Anthony Towns is part of getting for him. So for me, he elevates the team right now. The way they're playing right now, Karl Anthony Towns is as important to Nick as there is, more important than Jalen Brunson. And we'll see if that continues. And then the question is, off of that, because that's the way I'm viewing it at the moment, the question off of that is that what's best for the Knicks? Is the team better if Karl Anthony Towns is their guy? Is the guy down the stretch? Is the guy late in games? Is their best player for this season? Is that a better version of the New York Knicks? Or are we waiting for Brunson to step up again? Because again, it's not like Brunson has been bad this year, but 5 for 13, 1 for 4 from 3, 13 points. 7 assists, 6 rebounds. That's all he needed. They won the basketball game going away. They won the basketball game easy. They pulled away in the fourth quarter. It was tight at times, but they pulled away in the fourth quarter. But we talked so much last year about what kind of basketball team the Knicks were and what they transitioned after the injury and the rise of Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson clearly doesn't have to be that guy, and that's part, if not the entire part, of the Karl Anthony Towns trade, was to bring another star in here, maybe reshape the team, not need to rely on Brunson so much to get through a 7-game series, not so much to get through an entire season. And so maybe right now the Knicks are, playing a style of basketball that will reshape itself when it gets down to playoff time and when it gets down to bigger games. But right now it feels like Karl Anthony Towns is the most important player for them. He's their MVP. He's the guy they rely on. He's the guy that makes it all work at the moment. I'm not sure you can argue it. The question is that the best way for the Knicks to go forward? And is that their best team? Or are they at their best when Jalen Brunson, the proven leader of this team, the guy who would score 50 when they needed it in the playoffs last year, a guy who was there to beat Philadelphia, and a guy who, did everything he could before they all just fell apart around him in the playoffs last year, are they better off with Brunson being the guy, or can they play this game of basketball? Are they better off with Karl Anthony Towns being their most important player? 888-808-1019. Let's take a call in the open on it. We'll take a quick break after that. Jerry in Brooklyn. What's up, Jerry?
What's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, brother?
Man, love your show.
Thank you, man. What's going on with you?
I just have a couple points. One, terrible move to start a cat tonight. What are they doing? What's the point of this? I love his passion, but the guy's injured. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, it's an injury.
You saw.
Yes, yeah. I love that he's fighting through it. You know, I mean, I think that's
I love the passion.
Yeah.
But the guy is injured. What's going to
well,
be?
Well, I mean, I don't think I don't think it's an injury. I mean, they wouldn't play him if it was an injury that he could make worse. So it's just a matter of I get it. You want to
around there. You don't play a guy. It's Toronto Raptors. It should take this game.
You definitely could. That's definitely a thought process. I totally agree. And this is part of the conversation, too. Part of the conversation is Tibbs and the way he plays. You could have rested him tonight against the Toronto Raptors. And then you could have felt like if you would have called me, Jerry, and maybe you wouldn't have. I know I would have gotten Knick fan. If they would have lost this game without him, we would have gotten calls about that's four games in a row. They just lost to the Toronto Raptors. Like, you know, these games.
He's injured. He's injured. That's it. That's my point.
Yeah, but he's
one.
Not injured. But you can't say if he's injured, he's injured. He wasn't injured. He played the game.
Did you see him tonight?
I did. I saw him battle through it. I saw him play. I saw him play. What did he play? 34 minutes in this game? He played 34 minutes. He's a plus 25. He shot 3 from 3 from 3-point land, 9 for 14 from the floor. He got 9. He got 13 rebounds. He got two assists, three steals, 2 blocks. He's a plus 25, and he scored. Stupid thing! I gotta scroll over to make sure he scored 27 points. Him and OG led the team with 27 points. That's not injured. That's his knee is barking, no doubt. You could have sat him for this game, and listen, many coaches would have. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of calls suggesting that, hey, why not give him 2 games in a row? Let that knee get settled. You don't need to beat the Toronto Raptors. And that speaks to the point, though. I think the team, after losing that third straight game, you saw Josh Hart have to speak up about the level of, I don't know, commitment or whatever. Like, I don't know if there's an actual, you know, problem inside this locker room. And Hart talking about, you know, playing together and what kind of team we're going to be. Are we going to find a kind of team that's going to, you know, miss shots and then feel like, you know, we can't play? Or, like I don't know if there's an effort issue with this team. I think Josh Hart was just trying to nip it in the bud. But I think they felt like this game was a game they needed to win. You can't lose to the Raptors while Cleveland's out there beating Oklahoma City. And Karl Anthony Towns, without question, is playing through a little bit of pain. And maybe he's determined with this new team to show the toughness and lead this team and become a leader in this group. But clearly he's doing it. And if he's on the floor, he's on the floor. If he's not on the floor, I wouldn't have questioned it. I wouldn't have called him out for it. It's not that big a game. But if he's on the floor, he's not injured. He played 24 minutes. He scored 27 points. And right now it just feels like he's the guy. And I love watching him play, and I think this brand of basketball might serve the Knicks better off than having Jalen Brunson be the guy down the stretch of the season. 888-808-1019. We'll take your calls. We'll get to the Jets. Again, I just couldn't muster up the enthusiasm to talk about the 100 different guys that the New York Jets are interviewing for head coach and GM, and the latest one is just, the latest one just is a complete mistake, but I mean, Spags is just not a head coach. We'll get to that as well. We'll get to Pete Alonso and the idea. Every day, it's another mark that he's looking to get on his contract. Oh, he wants the Prince Fielder contract. Oh, he wants at least six years. Oh, he wants this. Oh, he wants that. We got David Wright saying, I hope he remembers, you know, or knows what it's like to be in the same uniform for your entire career. The Mets don't seem to care about keeping him in the same uniform his entire career. Like, why is he the only one who has to care about being in the same uniform his entire career? We'll get to Pete Alonso. We'll get to the Yankees. I could talk about Luis Arraez because I think it's one of the more interesting guys in Major League Baseball. And his impact for this New York Yankee team, the pros and cons of it, I find fascinating because I think there's a case for both. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Be right back. All right, McMonagle with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And to that caller's point, now, Karl Anthony Towns is clearly dealing with the knee injury, right? So, He played enough to be healthy. They wouldn't play him if he was injured. He's going through something he's fighting through. Now, the point would be, you know, tomorrow now, today's Thursday, so tomorrow and Friday, they're home against the Thunder, and it's a big game, right? They had a chance to win that game on the road, and they were unable to do so, lost 117 to 107. You got them back in the building. Cleveland just beat them. That's a big game. So if it's, why wouldn't you save them for that Thunder game? Why don't you play, give Cat the Orlando game, give him the Toronto game, have him ready for Friday night against the Thunder. And I understand that, but as important of a game as it is, it's still January. It's a out-of-conference game, and not that you would necessarily 100% lose to Toronto and you'd feel like you'd be able to beat Toronto, but if you lose that Toronto game, now you go up against Oklahoma City on a four-game losing streak, including to a banged-up Orlando team and an 8-win, or they would be a 9-win after they beat you, Toronto team. You might play your best and still lose to one of the best teams in the NBA. I don't want to have a 5-game losing streak. And that's not playing scared. That's just understanding that, hey, I don't want to go into that game on a 4-game losing streak and 2 at home against teams we're better than. So if he can play and he feels good to play, he should play. And I don't view that as Tibbs being, you know, the guy who's playing all these minutes and playing everybody and doing, and you know, because I gave the stat yesterday that last year Brunson led the Knicks in minutes and he was 14th in the NBA. This year, 3 New York Knicks are in the top 7 in minutes played. So the minutes are up. Now that could be for a myriad of reasons. 1, it's Tibbs' nature. 2, the bench is down. 3, this starting 5 needed to find itself. Right? It's kind of a new team. You bring in a new star playing a little bit of a different style of offense. He brings a lot to the table, Karl Anthony Towns. It's a little bit different. He's certainly a different player than Julius Randle is. So, you know, early on, they're playing a lot of minutes because you want to get that familiarity. You want to start to build as a team. Right? How long did we talk about the first couple of, you know, weeks of the season? Oh, you know, when they were struggling out of the gate a little bit, it was, well, you know, they got to find themselves. It's going to take some time, blah, blah. Well, they played a lot of minutes to expedite the finding themselves, and it's going to take some time. So, like, I think the minutes will come down. In this game, the minutes did come down. Let me double check that. I'm pretty sure every single starter was under, yeah, nobody played 40 minutes on the game, in the game. Josh Hart's 37, oh no, I'm sorry, Mikal Bridges 39 led the team. And we've talked about this forever, yeah, you know, he's going to have to find a way to manage this group. And when you see Karl Anthony Towns, and I'm telling you, he's the most important player on the team right now, when you see him hobbled at times or, you know, even to start the game kind of grimacing, it makes you think, well, what the hell is he even doing in the game? But again, you do not want to lose 4 games in a row. And not that they couldn't beat Toronto, but as bad as they are, but you don't want to lose, you know, you don't want to lose 4 games in a row. You want to get a win at home. You don't want to go into that Thunder game feeling like, geez, if I lose this, there's 5 losses in a row here. I got to, you know, I'm eliminating the positive from the 9-game winning streak. So I have no problem playing him as long as he's fine. It felt like he came out of it okay. I don't know if Tibbs said if he's not going to play or if they're going to, you know, have a plan for him moving forward. But I thought this was a good performance. And again, we're getting to the point now where we're going to find out what this team is as they get down the stretch here. And it'll always be Brunson's team as long as he's on it from this point forward. But I do think Karl-Anthony Towns is making a case that he's the most important Nick. And that he's the guy who kind of, at the moment, as this team is finding itself, makes them go. I think he makes OG better. I think, you know, he can make space for the rest of the team. I mean, I think, you know, we'll see if Bridges, you know, his shot didn't fall tonight, but, and he's been playing a lot of minutes, but I just think the style of play and the spacing that he brings and the offense they've played, like, this wasn't even a very good offensive game, and they were in control of it and felt it looked better than it did at any point without Karl-Anthony Towns. So I just think right now you're looking at a trade that was a massive success, a player that maybe wants to buck the trend. You go back to when he was shooting the foul shots. Now, some might have been cynical and said that after that loss to the Bulls where they made that heroic comeback and fell just short and, you know, he missed some foul shots down the stretch of that game and he's shooting foul shots after the game is over and, you know, he's doing it in, you know, view of the camera, and if you want to be, you know, cynical, whatever. Maybe he is. Maybe he's trying to buck that image of being soft, because I haven't got a whiff of Karl-Anthony Towns being soft. And in fact, he's playing through injury, and he's playing excellent basketball. 27 points, 13 rebounds. 888-808-1019. So we'll find out as we move forward here what kind of Nick team we have here. And if it can be a team that can actually make us happy. I know the two baseball teams do, and I know Pete Alonso makes the Mets happy. At least the Met fan. We'll see. Like, again, it makes me laugh. The Pete Alonso thing, because now we're hearing that he wants at least 6 years. That's the latest thing, that they're off on the years. We've heard that for a little bit. The other day we heard that he's, you know, trying to get the Prince Fielder contract of 9 years, $210 million. And we all say the same thing. Like, I look at it and I go, Pete, the hell are you thinking? You're not going to get 9 years. You're not going to get $210 million. Like, wake up. Then you get Jeff Passan saying it's likely it could be a short-term deal, like a three-year deal with an opt-out. And I don't, you know, I believe, you know, I think Jeff Passan's one of the, if not the premier, you know, baseball insider at the moment, but then you get the news today that he's looking for 6 years. And then you got David Wright, who's going to have his number retired in July, and well-deserved. And he's talking about the same thing I heard Moose talk about last week, and I'm sure Dal Strawberry would tell Pete. And, you know, David Wright referenced watching Chipper Jones play his entire career for the Atlanta Braves. And he talked about watching Derek Jeter play his entire career for the New York Yankees. And I'm hoping that's in the mind of Pete Alonso. And that's great and all. And I totally agree. There is an extreme value to being someone like David Wright, like Chipper Jones, like Derek Jeter, getting your number retired. And Pete Alonso would. If Pete Alonso signs a six-year deal with the New York Mets, if Pete Alonso spends his entire career with the New York Mets, I think you are looking at a player that very easily could be the next guy to have his number retired at Citi Field. I don't think there's a doubt. But here's the only thing I'll say. We'll wait for this market to find itself. And sure, you could quibble with, hey, Pete, why don't you take, you know, a couple million dollars less to be, you know, to stay with the Mets, or why don't you do this? Like, if Pete's looking for six years, you know, this is one of the premier home run hitters in the sport. Make no mistake about it. I mean, that's just a fact. Now, we could talk about his game, we could talk about his age, we could talk about his season last year, we could talk about his trending numbers in the wrong direction. Talk about all that, and it's fair, whether or not he's a good enough first baseman defensively, which I think he's fine. I don't think he's great. The scoop numbers are excellent, though. Have you seen those scoop numbers? He's one of the best scoopers in the sport. But the idea that, you know, there's this pressure on Pete Alonso to somehow be the bigger guy, take the lesser contract that he wants, and understand that it's better for him to be in a Met uniform, and the Mets get to, from the fan base at least, get the understanding of, hey, why would you overpay for Pete Alonso? Like, there's value to the Mets to have Pete Alonso. There's value to the Mets to have a guy who's going to be here for his entire career and break records. There's value to breaking records There's value to having the best. I mean, now over the next 15 years, you assume Juan Soto will be the best player in a Mets uniform in their long history. But up until this year, we were talking about Pete Alonso being the next guy to be the greatest position player in Mets history. And I'm not saying the Mets should give him 6 years. Or certainly the Mets shouldn't give him nine. I think we all understand that. But I'm just saying, I find it funny that there's hardly anyone. Like, there are people saying, sign Pete Alonso. We need someone to hit behind Juan Soto. You need to sign Pete. If not Pete, who? Like, I've heard plenty of that. But I'm not hearing a lot of people going, hey, you know what? You're the richest owner in baseball. You went out and gave Juan Soto, who hasn't done a damn thing for this organization, a suite, and everything else his heart desired. When it came to Jacob DeGrom, you played hardball, fine. It's coming to Pete Alonso, you're playing hardball, fine. But if we're going to get into the sentimentality of it all, and we're going to get into the value of it all, how come this ownership group, how come Steve Cohen, who wants to do everything for Met fans and wants to win desperately and wants a championship, how come no one's talking about, hey, give him the extra year? All right, where are you? Three? Give him four. Give him 5 years and call it a deal. It's Pete Alonso. What's the worst that could happen? You have a bad contract and you have to eat it at the end of the year? You're the richest owner in the sport. Do it. I personally think they don't want to do it. And that's what this is all about. It's not about getting. It's not like they're far apart in years. Because if they wanted him, the owner would do exactly that. The owner would go out there and give him the fourth or fifth year and make him happy. Why not? What is it going to cost the New York Mets? Like, honestly, if they believe Pete's the guy and they want Pete for the next 3 years to be their first baseman, what's another 2 years of Pete Alonso? Where is that? On some level, keeping the Mets from doing what they want to do. We know it's not. It's not. They can do Pete Alonso plus. They can get Pete Alonso. Then they can go get Tucker next year. They can do whatever they want. And I'm not saying that's what they should do. I'm just saying if we're going to play this game of, hey, Pete, come on, man. You know it's best to be in a Met uniform. You know you want to be a Met. You know what you've meant to this fan base. You know how valuable it is to you to continue to be in a Met uniform. Play ball, man. Do what you got to do. Sign the three-year deal. It's good money. I don't know what else you're going to get, Pete. I don't know what else you're going to get. What are you going to get? You've already turned down money from the Mets. Let's not turn down this good deal. But nobody wants to look at the owner and go, hey, you're willing to do anything. You just gave out $760 million. You've got the biggest pocketbook in the history of Major League Baseball. You're going to tell me 2 years of Pete Alonso is keeping us from having the best lineup and the best team we can have right now, and a guy who's going to possibly break records in our jersey and be the next guy we can celebrate, like David Wright in July? They don't want him. Because if they wanted him, this owner would step in and get it done. And maybe they believe that, oh, well, the market will collapse down to us, and when we have to make a decision, we will. And maybe that is the case. Maybe the owner is just waiting. He knows Pete Alonso is going to give him final approval and take any deal he gets back to him and say, hey, whatever, man. Like, we'll just wait. When you bring back us the best deal and we'll take it. But you know what? If I'm Pete and I'm your guy and you don't want to help me out, if someone wants to offer me a lot of money to go play, I'll go play there. But that would be stupid, right, Pete? You got to stay with the Mets. Because it's so valuable to you. Maybe a guy who hits 40 home runs almost every year thinks he's pretty valuable. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Jets situation as well. Of course, you know, my guy Evan, who I was talking to earlier today, gave you the Aaron Rodgers to the Giants. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm all for it under one circumstance. There's one set of circumstances that I am all for Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback for the New York Giants. We can get to that as well coming up next. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. All right, 250. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know, just the point with Pete, because I was looking over some of the quotes from David Wright, and obviously David Wright is going to have his number retired. He wants Howie Rose to do it. I saw Howie Rose tweet that you would have to lock him in a dark room or something to keep him from making it there to emcee the event, and I'm sure he will be. I'm sure it'll be a fun day, a great day. Hopefully he gets good weather for it. Well deserved. And yes, the face of the franchise played for the Mets and the Mets alone, and that is valuable, but so is what Pete has given you as an average over the course of 162 games. He averages 43 home runs, 112 RBIs. He hits 250, and he has an OPS of 854. Now, last year, he definitely trended in the wrong direction. He hit 34 home runs. He played every game. He's played 161, 57 of 60, 152, 160, 154, 162. He plays every game. He averages 43 home runs a season. He averages 112 RBI a year, and he has an average of an 854 OPS. And I'm looking at the quotes from David Wright, and David Wright says, you know, what's great about the Mets right now is, you know, as he's asked about this current situation, oh, yeah, no, the desire to win at all costs. Well, I guess that desire ends at 6 years for Pete Alonso. So, I'm not even saying that the Mets are foolish. All right, I'm not. I think there's a case to be made not to sign Pete Alonso. I've made it because I think the money that they're willing to spend is better served waiting a year and giving it to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think the Mets might be right, but I see this David Wright thing, and he even followed it up with, like, but I understand, you know, it's about, you know, making, you know, doing what's best for your family. I'll never begrudge a player, you know, going out there and trying to get his value, blah, blah, blah. But I hear so much of this, like, hey, Pete, man, don't you get it? Don't you get what it means to be in one uniform for the rest of your career? Hey, Pete, don't you understand that you're, you know, your value takes a hit? You know, wouldn't you rather stay here with the Mets than go take, you know, a couple more dollars to be a San Francisco Giant or go be a Anaheim Angel? Or, like, don't you understand it's better for you, Pete? Like, Mets fans weren't saying that about Juan Soto. Take every last dollar, Juan. No one wants to be a Yankee anyway. Suddenly everyone wants to be a Met. So I'm not saying the Mets are doing the wrong thing, and maybe they're just waiting for Pete to get his final offer and say, look, come back to what your best offer is, and we'll figure it out, or we'll talk about it. And so they know that they don't have to make a move because Pete wants to be a Met, but I don't know, maybe Pete's getting insulted. And also, you know, the pressure from everywhere to make it seem like, you know, Pete needs the Mets more than the Mets need Pete, when the other story is, well, you know, their desire to win at all costs. Well, who's playing first next year? And how are you better? And how are you going to compete in a National League with the Dodgers and the Padres and in your division with the Phillies and the Braves? Because I would think you need probably one more bat. You certainly need more pitching. And I think going out and getting Tanner Scott, who they've been linked to, is a great idea. I think they absolutely should go pay Tanner Scott. Go pay Pete Alonso. Have one of the best lineups in the game and have one of the best back end of the bullpens in the game. Now you're talking. That's winning at all costs, right? So even though I don't know if the Mets are being foolish with I'm sure they're handling it the way they think is right. But all I'm saying is enough with this you know, Pete Alonso should be doing what's, you know, he should be wanting to be a Met, and it should be a valuable thing to him. Because we just found out that, you know, Yankee fans were foolish for thinking such things. Nobody wants to be a Yankee. It doesn't matter. Pinstripes don't matter. The building doesn't matter. The roll call doesn't matter. None of that matters. What are you talking about? Don't be silly. It's about money. It's about money. And yet Pete Alonso, well, listen, come on, Pete. Be smart about this, will you? No one's going to give you 9, Pete. No one's going to give you 6, Pete. Just play ball with the Mets. They offered you a contract. You turned it down. Time to just, you know, tuck your tail between your legs, call it a loss, and just do what's right, you know, and be in a Met uniform for the rest of your career and take whatever they're willing to give you. But the organization, hey, they're not going to bid against themselves. Hey, they're doing the right thing. Hey. All right. Even if that's right, I'm just saying, I think that's enough with the pressure on Pete to stay in one uniform. The organization deserves some, you know, the same thing with Judge, right? We said the same thing with Judge, said the same thing. Hey, Judge, don't you understand your value? You're going to break records. You're going to be in Monument Park. You're going to be, you know, number retired at Yankee Stadium, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, we were also saying, hey, go out and get him. Now, clearly, you know, I mean, and Hal, go spend the money. I don't care what you got to do. You're on vacation in Italy? Are you freaking kidding me, Hal? Get the hell off the Malfi Coast and go sign Aaron Judge. Now, I'm not trying to tell you they're the same players or nor was their market the same, but how about a little bit of pressure on the organization to go out there and get it done as opposed to just asking Pete to, you know, play ball because it's best to be in the same uniform? Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric? Hey, Eric, you there? No? Eric, come on, you're my guy. You gave me a trophy and everything. Nope. All right, we'll try again. But that's how I view it. Because, I honestly don't think they want him. That's my point of all this. I don't think the Mets want him. And they are well within their rights. I honestly think you can make a very strong case, especially like to me, it's the idea of what could be next year. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who right now is apparently $100 million between him and signing an extension with Toronto, they're $100 million off, right? They're $100 million separate from each other. I don't think as long as there is not a long-term first baseman signed with the Mets, as long as they have not put Pete Alonso under contract, there is no way in hell, not even if they come up another $100 million, is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. going to sign a contract to stay with Toronto where nobody wants to go play, right? Even if he takes the money and they promise him they'll do more, and they could say, hey, look, we offered Ohtani $700 million. Hey, we offered Juan Soto $700 million. Hey, we're going to try and bolster this team. We believe and we have the means and we're going to go do it. Yeah, that's great. Nobody takes your money. Nobody wants to be a Blue Jay anymore. I'm not sure why. Nobody wants to be a Blue Jay. Nobody wants to be a San Francisco Giant. So for me, I think the Mets are well within their rights to tell Pete, hey, look, you're going to take our measly contract or you're going to, you know, wait it out and go somewhere else, fine. But I don't think the Mets want to keep him because I think when you have an owner who's willing to spend $700 million for the right free agent, then why wouldn't you wait for the right free agent? And I think that's what this is about. I think Juan Soto is viewed as the can't miss. You have to go get him, 26 years old, you know, change the dynamic of the city, everything about that, right? Stearns talked about how that the Juan Soto free agency was one of the first things they talked about back when he first got the job at the beginning of the year. This was on the owner's mind for a long time. When you have the ability to go get those free agents, I think you do it. Next year, you're staring at one of the best, most, you know, who could be an absolute star, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., being able to come here and be in the middle of the lineup with Juan Soto for the next 10 years. In their prime, I think that has they have proven that they have long term thoughts on free agency. They attack the premium free agents, and right now Pete ain't that. I think all this, like, oh, Pete, take the, you know, do what's best. Take the minimum deal. Wear the uniform for your whole career. It's what's best for you. Yeah. I don't think the Mets want him. And I think he kind of knows that. They also have the ability to know that Pete will come back to them the best offer. I understand what's going on here. I just hate the public pressure on Pete, but none on the Mets to actually get it done. 888-808-1019. We'll talk baseball. And Knicks, after the first hour, take some calls. We'll also get to the Jets and their never-ending, widest net I've ever seen search for a coach and GM. They're searching for coaches. They're searching for GMs. The GM doesn't have to be in place before they hire a coach, apparently. I have no idea what's going on with the Jets. We can get to the Giants as well. I saw the afternoon show talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Giants again. I am open to Aaron Rodgers to the Giants under one circumstance. So we got a lot to get to. McMonagle here with you for the next 2 hours, taking you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Here's Marco.